I love these guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Secondhand Lions. My name is Bill Radford. I'm here with longtime friend John Drennan, and we are also longtime Lions fans. Welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. John has a few things to say to start us off, so I'll throw it over to him.
Hey, Bill, thanks so much. I love doing this. And just for our listeners, maybe new listeners, you and I are fans. We're not media. We're not experts. We don't go to practice. But since the 50s and 60s, you and I have been watching the Lions. And since we met in college decades ago, we've been talking about the Lions. And anyone that's been a Lions fan knows how painful that's been. But we are here now to take the journey with the Detroit Lions to the Super Bowl. We believe that's coming, maybe this year, maybe next year, but it's in our sights. And so this is a real fan-based podcast, and we just appreciate all of our listeners. If you like what you're hearing, if you're a fan, if you know fans, we invite you to invite others. And if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and rank us. And we hope you give us 5 stars. Also, you can comment if you're on one of the podcasts that allow for comments. And I said last week, Bill, I was going to provide an email where people can reach out to us that way. We'll do that here at the end of today's podcast. So I also said last week that we're going to do like the Lions. After every game, Campbell talks about, we got things to clean up. Well, we don't really have anything from our last podcast to clean up that I'm aware of. So with that, Bill, we are doing this every week. And the last game was the Dolphins last Saturday. It's now Thursday, so we're 2 days away from the game against Houston back at Ford Field, the last exhibition game. But let's go ahead and take a look back at the Dolphins game at Ford Field. And let me go back to you to kick that off.
Well, the good news is that Allen looked good again as the backup quarterback. I think he solidified his position there. A couple of other guys looked, Tesla again looked good, and the wide receiver Meeks had the highest offensive grade by the coaches this week. But there were a couple of things that were bothersome to head coach Dan Campbell. He likes how the defense is playing, but he's concerned that we're not getting any turnovers. There were 2 fumbles by Miami this week, and the Lions didn't get either of them. And 3 times they had interceptions in their hands and dropped them. So you look at that, 5 possible turnovers, and they didn't get any. If they get 2 or 3 of those, the game completely changes. Nick Whiteside had a good game, had a nice sack and several other pressures. The big concern is what's going to happen with the third quarterback, Hendon Hooker. Now, again, I'm not an expert, and we've heard that Campbell said that he's looked good except for the turnovers, but the turnovers have been plenty. And he had a chance near the end of the game to have a game-tying drive, and they went down the field, but then he threw the ball right to a Dolphin defender and ended that drive. So he's had several interceptions. He's had several fumbles, and he's going to get most of the reps this week against the Texans. I think he's going to start. He's going to have most of the reps. So I think he's on the line, whether he's going to be on the team or not. And then if he's not, what do you do? I've heard Carson Wentz mentioned as a possible backup. Before we started today, you mentioned Cleveland's got, I think, 27 quarterbacks on their team. They can't keep them all. So it's possible that if Hooker doesn't work out, that the Lions could pick up one of those. And so we'll see. We'll see if Hooker makes the team, and if he doesn't, who they're going to get for a third or possibly second, with Allen going to third, depending on who they get. We haven't really seen any starters. We didn't see any again against the Dolphins. I don't expect us to see any against the Texans. And to tell you the truth, I'm tired of preseason. I'm ready for them to play the Packers in a game that counts, and looking for, very much forward to seeing the real team on the field for the first time this fall.
Yeah, you and me both. It seems like a long preseason given we were in that Hall of Fame game. And so the excitement is building for that first game against the Packers. You know, going back to things you said, I agree with, Allen and Tesla and Meeks and Whiteside and those comments, and that the Lions do need takeaways. And I think we're going to see those in the regular season. The other thing, the penalties. Against the Lions this last game, way too many, but there are also a lot against the Dolphins. I heard one commentator talking about the referees were just too quick to throw the flags, and I don't know, but they need to clean that up. And you and I talked a little bit about Hooker, athletic guy, smart guy, but maybe someone that just can't or hasn't adjusted to the speed and athleticism of the NFL. We're talking about the former Texas Longhorn great Vince Young, that I remember kind of won the national championship on his own. I mean, he was an incredible college player, but never made that same adjustment to the NFL game. So, but then the challenge, are they going to even keep Hooker on the roster? The challenge is, if they don't, then who's their backup to Allen? If they don't, will some other team get Hooker and benefit from all the investment the Lions have into them? But I know when I look at the 53-man roster, man, they're going to be letting go of some players that I think can help teams in the NFL. But hey, let's move on from that. I told you prior to this podcast, I got a beef with Colin Coward, who's I don't know if I pronounce that right. It's like coward or cowherd. But most football fans know that name, a recognized media so-called expert. But he came out with his top 10 teams going into this year. And I just got to disagree so much. I think it's worth talking about. He's got the Eagles, the Bills, the Ravens, the Broncos, and the Chiefs is the top five. I certainly don't argue with Philly and the Bills and Ravens and Chiefs. Then he's got the Seahawks, Commanders, Rams, Packers, Lions. He's got the Lions at number 10. And what irks me is, he's talking about the Ravens. They've got great offense. They've got a strong defense, good kicking game, good organization. And to me, that's describing the Detroit Lions. Now, the reason he says he's got the Lions at 10, Bill, is loss of two coordinators. I mean, we get that. We've talked about that from the start. But maybe the two who are replacing them are going to be as good or better. And he talked about the loss of two offensive linemen. I get it, but everything we're hearing, Ratledge is going to fill in really well. Christian Mahogany's an absolute stud, according to all the reports. And Graham Glasgow can play the center position. So, what are your thoughts here on Collins' top 10?
Well, it's what really rankles me is having the Packers ahead of the Lions. I mean,
Yeah, what's with that?
they haven't been ahead of the Lions for 3 years.
They've lost at least 4 to 6 games in a row to the Lions.
Well, 3 years ago, the Lions won the last game of the season and kept them out of the playoffs.
Right.
Then they were 12-5 the next year and won the division. Last year, they were 15-2, won the division, beat them twice. So I don't understand where Green Bay is ranked ahead of Detroit. That bothers me. Denver, I don't get that either. They've got this young quarterback, and he's predicted to do well. But they're probably, from what I can tell, the third best team in that division. Kansas City's first. The Chargers are second. And then maybe Denver's third. So I don't see how they're top 10 if they're not. Are the Chargers even on that list?
No, he had the Chargers at 11 or 12.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't understand Denver at all. So to say that I do understand Philadelphia, obviously Super Bowl champs. Buffalo, they have been good for a long time, but they're sort of recently been the same as the Lions, really good regular seasons. And then they just don't do it in the playoffs. Of course, they have to run up against Kansas City a lot, which is no picnic. But then the Ravens, they have an MVP, two or three time MVP quarterback, and they still can't produce in the playoffs. So, yeah, I guess, Talking Heads preseason predictions shouldn't bother us too much, but having Green Bay and Denver ahead of us kind of bothers me.
Well, Bill, I think we can go on record here as I started this earlier. We're fans, we're not so-called experts, but I'll certainly make the statement Collins off on the top 10. Lions are going to do better, definitely better. Top five, in my opinion. Also, Bill, you're talking about Bo Nix in his second year, also Daniels for the Commanders, second-year quarterbacks, and the thinking typically is rookie quarterbacks that do well, the second year is tougher because teams now understand what they're capable of and prepare for them
Right.
differently. And so, will they have the excellent sophomore years that they had as freshmen? And, more power to them if they do. Also, Jon Gruden had picked Tampa Bay to win the Super Bowl this year. I saw that recently. Now, I don't agree at all with that, but it's interesting. He says that, and Colin doesn't even have Tampa Bay in his top 10. In fact, he named two other teams, 11 and 12, and Tampa Bay wasn't one of them. So, and no doubt there are a lot of really good teams, but Bill, how quickly can you tell me who the Seahawks quarterback is?
No idea.
Yeah, okay, point taken. All right, well, let's move on to that, but I know you agree with me that we fans here are going to totally differ with what Colin Coward has predicted.
Well, I
And one
think
of
to
the
your point
reasons.
about second year quarterback, CJ Stroud was the quarterback for Texans. He had a fantastic rookie season, and then last year he took a step back. For one thing, is when you have a really good record, then next season your schedule is a lot tougher. I noticed looking at the Lions, 8 of our first 11 games are against playoff teams.
Right.
So, against that lineup, if they go 7-4, I'm happy with it.
Right.
But
And by the way, but part of what makes their schedule so tough is some of the away games they have, but they were undefeated on the road last year.
there you
So.
go. So, yeah, I think that second year quarterbacks sometimes don't play as well in their as they did in their first year because of what you outlined.
Totally agreed. Well, Bill, another reason, I mean, reason I just don't buy Lions at number 10. I've taken a look at their new players and obviously haven't compared this to the Packers and Vikings and some of these other team new players, new contributors to a 15-2 regular season. But listen to this, DJ Reed, who's predicted to be a shutdown cornerback. Grant Stewart, who's going to bring a lot to backup linebacker and special teams, they're very high on him. Isaac Tesla is being talked about as a potential all-pro kind of receiver. Rock Ya-Sin, who we've talked about in the preseason games, is bringing great depth to the secondary. Ray Lopez to help on the defensive line, who I don't think we've ever mentioned on this podcast, but he's certainly going to bring value on the D line. Zach Cunningham, a veteran linebacker who's going to help again with depth there. Nate Lynn and Keith Cooper, two guys that Cooper's a rookie. Nate Lynn last year got hurt, but showed signs in early on. And we don't even know if Lynn and or Cooper will make the roster, Bill, but I think both of them have potential if they are on the roster to help on the D line. Tate Ratledge, who we mentioned, their number two pick from where is he from? Arkansas? I'm drawing a blank. Anyhow, oh no, I'm sorry, Georgia, who
Right.
they're talking about is already a NFL starting guard at right guard. Tyleek Williams, they're very high on their number one pick to beef up the defensive line. And Marcus Davenport, who was not new last year but was hurt virtually the entire season, they're raving about him opposite Hutch, who's back. They're saying better than he was a year ago. I mean, these Lions are loaded. I know I'm going to keep talking about this because it's true. So, anyhow, there's my bit of a rant in favor of the Lions and their roster.
Well, if the Lions come out of the gate and beat Green Bay in Green Bay the first game of the year, I think Colin Cowherd will have a little egg on his face. He might want to adjust his teams. But they could lose that game. Green Bay is a good team. They're going to be playing on the road, although as you mentioned, they were undefeated on the road last year. So I just want to you talk about sometimes we have to clean things up, and I want to clean up our comments on Vince Young. I looked him up while we were talking here, and he had an 8 year or 9 year career. He was a Pro Bowl quarterback twice and rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year. And so if Hendon Hooker could do that, we'd be thrilled.
Well, then I need to hear, definitely make note of my misspeaking there.
Well, both of us.
I remember him coming out of college thinking he's going to be incredible. And I think even though clearly he did well, that never in my head translated as what he was capable of. So, but I didn't
Right.
know he was all pro twice and,
Well, he his first 6 years in the league, he was 31-19. His big problem was he threw a lot of interceptions. He had 46 touchdowns and 51 interceptions. So
Oh, wow.
that was the problem. He also ran for 12. So
Who did he play for those years?
he played for Tennessee from 2006 to 2010. He played for Philadelphia. In 2011, he only played three games for them.
Okay.
He went on to play for a couple of other teams. And then in 2014, he retired because he said he would play if he got a guaranteed contract, but nobody ever offered him one. So, yeah, he was, he did well, but he didn't do as well as everybody thought he would because of his incredible, almost superhuman career at Texas. I remember that game, that touchdown he scored at the end to win it for Texas was otherworldly.
It was. It was spectacular.
So you're right in that he didn't live up to the billing, but if Hooker played as well as Young, we would be very happy with him.
Well, Bill, it's going to be interesting as the Lions are now getting close to have to get down to 53 on their roster, as every team is. And it's going to be very interesting because
When is that cutoff?
I don't know the date. Yeah, we can look that up here, but there's so many question marks. Like you mentioned, Jackson Meeks from Syracuse, he's looked just great. His catches, his ratings, running after the catch. Do they keep him? He'd be their, what, sixth receiver, fifth receiver, assuming, there's Brown and there's Jameson Williams and there's Tim Patrick, there's Tesla. Oh, there's Caliph Raymond. So then there's Meeks. Do they keep six? Same thing at
Well, they
linebacker.
may not keep one of those other guys. You never know.
That's possible. Yeah. Could we see someone? I mean, they have so much talent in linebacker, D backs, running back. Are they going to stay with four?
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting. There may not
Well,
be.
at wide receiver, Brown, Williamson, and Tesla are going to be on the team.
Yes.
And then after that, I'm not sure how the taxi squad works, but you're allowed to put some players on that squad and then bring them onto the team if you have injuries. But of course, they have to agree to go on the taxi squad, I think.
I also believe, and I know we're fans, so we're saying things I think and I believe, but if you've had
Right.
4 years in the league, and you're put on the taxi squad, then anyone can pull you off, any team.
Yeah.
So, well, Bill, we got Houston coming up today. Again, is Thursday, 2 days before the Houston match, and they're having the joint practices, and I know Dan Campbell loves those because they get to go against the first team of Houston, and so it's going to be big for Lions. Having said that, do you think we'll see our starters on Saturday against Houston?
Well, we were talking before the podcast, and you mentioned that we might see him for a series or two, a quarter at the most. I really don't think we're going to see Goff at all. I'd be very surprised if we saw either of our starting running backs. I don't think we're going to see Hutchinson, for example, or maybe Penei Sewell, I don't think. So the risk of injury is too great. And the other thing is, they used to have four, well, they used to have six preseason games way back when, and 14 regular season games. But now that there's 17 regular season games, that just increases the odds of having to deal with injuries. And also, these Thursday games, the NFL loves them because now they have Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and then once college season is over, they play some on Saturday. They're killing the NBA by playing on Christmas now. But the opportunity for injury is multiplied greatly because of the number of games in the regular season. So most teams only play three preseason games. The Lions are playing four. So it's gone from six to four to three. I don't think we're going to see the starters.
Yeah, you make good points, and we know what we got with the starters, and they are getting these reps against the joint practice reps. So I agree with you. The 17 games, and speaking of injuries, by the way, Ahmed Hassanein went down against the Dolphins, He wasn't going to be a starter, but we think by the end of the we think he would make the roster, and by the end of the year be a real contributor. He's out for, they haven't said how long, potentially this season, but recently I've seen it may be not that long. So yeah, I'm confident with this Lions roster, not playing the guys you mentioned. Maybe add to that Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph and Sam Laporta and Jack Campbell. I mean, let's keep these guys ready and raring to go against the Packers.
Of course, the downside of that is the first time you see game action, real live game action, you might not play your best, but Green Bay is in the same situation. I don't think,
Exactly.
and Jordan Love has been hurt. I haven't heard his status lately. See, that's what happened. Jordan Love, he probably got hurt in practice, so I don't think he played in a game. So.
You're exactly right. Every team faces these decisions, and so Bill, you talked about they used to do the six preseason games. I don't even remember that, but I remember four or five. But the Lions, I saw where they had 45,000 people for the preseason game against the Dolphins. And I'm sure they'll have that or more here this Saturday. And, we talked about how the Lions last year were undefeated on the road. Commentators would talk about their fan base made it seem like a home game. So the Lions
Right.
fans, I know every team says we have the best fans. They don't get any better than the Lions.
Yeah. Of course, some of the reason there's so many people at the preseason games is when you buy season tickets, you have to buy the preseason games. So there's and they're sold out, by the way. Every seat is sold out for all the games. The only thing left, I was reading, is some of the privacy boxes. You can still, if you have the coin, you can still get in there. But as far as regular season games go, the Lions are sold out every game.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Bill,
Well, I'm looking for.
I said I was going to have the email link for folks here. I'm sorry I don't have that. I've been awaiting it from our podcast folks, but we'll have that next podcast. We do want to be able to hear from our listeners, so.
And we'll get that out before the start of the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
And we'll be back on here next week, likely earlier in the week, following the Houston game. And then we're getting close there, buddy.
Yeah. We look forward to seeing you all next time.
Right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Bill.